Carmela, I'm watching you just bringing these eggs and flour together. We've decided that we're going to try this the easy way. having done the hard way with, how many children did we have in the house?
Seven children. And we tried to make, well, we did make about a kilogram's worth of pasta by hand, obviously with using a manual machine. And it wasn't necessarily more time consuming, but it took a lot of work and a lot of effort, actually. And I was exhausted the following day, making such a huge amount. And obviously, to feed my family and to feed yours, Vanessa, we need a substantial amount of dough, you know, to be made. So today we're opting for the assistant in the kitchen.
We've gone for a K-mix here, and we've got the pasta maker with the K-mix, and it's attached already on here, Carmela. It sort of slots in the end of the machine. It's quite a nice looking machine, isn't it?
It's beautiful, really sleek, very, very modern, but still very classical as well. It's a lovely piece of equipment to have on the side in the kitchen. And the benefit of this is it's not only got the bowl with the whisk and the dough hook and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, and the paddle. It's also got the availability of slotting right at the top, various attachments. And today we're going to be using the pasta attachments. So there's three. There is the pasta roller, which this is how we just roll and feed the pasta dough through the machine. And obviously, being electrical, this is going to help and speed up the process completely. So hopefully we won't be here kind of for hours, endless hours.
We actually genuinely, wasn't quite blood, sweat and tears, but we were definitely, it was hard work last time.
It was hard work. And I think this time will be a lot easier and maybe a little bit more fun too. So let's just see how we get on. So
you know, I mean, I dropped whole tray last time.
You did.
I was mortified.
After all that work.
Oh, your face is a picture, actually.
It was. I don't know if it was devastation or shock, really. But as you can see, I'm just combining here.
It's still quite sticky that dough. You've put the same ratios in. It's exactly the same recipe, same ratios, and you're just bringing that together on the board.
But it's just sticky. But once you've worked all that flour in, it will come right. If you do find it sticky, just add a little bit more flour, not too much flour, because you don't want to dry the dough out, which is obviously what's key. I mean, at the minute it's kind of quite clumpy on my hands, but the dough itself is coming together, and it's all about the kneading. See, like that. Here we go. And you've got to use, it's just very much like a bread, you know, a bread. If you use the palms of your hand, and you just need to knead it, but you'll need to knead this dough for 8 to 10 minutes. So it's kind of quite...
Do your hands stop being sticky after 8 to 10 minutes? Because does it sort of incorporate into the dough? Or do you have to clean your hands off?
What I'd really do now is I'd kind of maybe put some flour on my hands and just rub them to take that excess dough off, and then work that excess into the flour and then knead it. I mean, the consistency you're looking for when the dough is ready is a bit silky, a bit shiny, and then if you kind of push it, it will come back to you, you know. So that's what we're looking to achieve.
I'm going back to this K-mix. I'm leaning on it as I'm chatting with you. My mum has got a Kenwood. It's got to be 30 years old. Have you seen, did your mum have one of these?
Yes, my mum had, do you know what, she's still got it on her work surface now and uses it very much. And I tend to find, I mean, I've spoken about the K-mix before. So many people have got original Kenwoods, where they're chefs at the time, Kenwood chef, from years ago. You know,
so they're a British design.
And some have been passed down as well. I know one lady that's had hers passed down from her mother, and I just love that whole concept. I love the concept of taking something through one kitchen to another. It just means a lot, doesn't it? So I'm hoping that I get the same with the K-mix, definitely.
I love that, taking one piece of kitchen equipment from one generation to another.
Yeah.
That has quite a sort of, it kind of fits in with passing recipes down.
Yeah,
I mean, this recipe again, is this is your grandmother's recipe?
Well, it is. I mean, but this isn't just a normal pasta dough recipe, which is the general rule is 100 grams of flour is with one egg is one serving of pasta. So if you're cooking for five, you do 500 grams with five eggs and a little bit of salt. You know, so you can really multiply, but you can really change the dough once you've rolled it, stuffing it into ravioli, tagliatelle, you know, spaghetti, tortellini. You can add flavour that way. I think it's always nice to have a normal plain dough, then to be able to work with it that way. Can you hear me puffing? Because I'm doing this part by hand.
Now, you see, I personally thought we were going to put this into the machine.
Oh, we should do. Well, actually,
should we do a second batch in the machine in a second?
Well, I've got some ready here. So this one here,
we should try that dough hook.
Absolutely, sounds good to me.
You'll have to go to the gym later, of course.
Well, here I'm already rolling this, so this will be done. But we were going to do a kilogram of flour anyway today, and this is just half of it. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
Yeah, we'll do a direct comparison between handmade and the machine made here.
I am puffing though, Vanessa. I'm trying not to make it sound like I am, but it's without a doubt a workout. I'm hoping that my electrical machine will, my Kenwood will save us later.
That's been work now for a good six, seven minutes, and we've been chatting away in the meantime. That looks pretty sort of almost elastic.
It is now, and if you pull it, you can see that's lovely.
And that's just, as you pull it, what's happening to the dough there?
It's stretching now, which is great, and this is what we need now, because obviously we're going to stretch it so it doesn't look like a big ball of dough. It's going to be lovely, delicate, very thin pasta. And the secret to it now is obviously once you've given it all a good mix and everything's combined and that real gluten in the flour's really worked through and the eggs are all combined, I've got a lovely smooth dough that I'm just tucking around, and if you push, it comes back. Just very slightly it comes back. So now that just needs to be cling filmed and popped in the fridge for about 20 minutes. Now whilst that's resting in the fridge, we'll take the opportunity to make our dough in our K-mix. So what we need to do,
I'm just trying to spot where the bowl
is. Just over there.
Right. Got the dough hook here.
And I've just sealed it in just a plastic bag, kind of a reusable bag or some cling film. I'm going to just pop that into the fridge for about 20 minutes. There we go.
Right, we're going to try the short way.
We are. We're going to try with our Kenwood, which is going to be an absolute delight, I'm sure.
It's a lovely sort of, it's yellow, but it's sort of like an almost like a butter colour. It's not cream and it's yellow.
It's not citrus, it's not a yellow.
It's sitting between the pears.
It's like a butter, I like that. I like that colour. Honey, lemon, doesn't quite cut it, does it? This is a cream K-mix, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I've recently made a cake with it, and I find that other mixes don't really compare as well.
I've got to be honest, I've used other mixes. I keep coming back to this one. It's the one I've got as well. And one of the reasons I like this so much is because the bowl's slightly bigger, the capacity is bigger.
It's a deeper bowl, isn't it?
It is, than any other that I've seen. And in its price range, certainly. The whisk is bigger, the balloon whisk is bigger, and then the motor's slightly bigger as well. And so they've just, it seems to me it's more solid, it doesn't rock.
The
and
when I it's a key part, isn't it, the arm of the, what would you call that, the arm of the machine, when you put it on a high speed, this machine doesn't move,
which we're going to find out now.
And we are.
And I think that's probably why I like this particular machine. And you know, there are other things on the market. I think the Kenwood is one that a lot of people would buy in comparison. It's a sort of direct comparison. I think it's slightly more, But if I've got to choose between the two, the Kenwood has got the capability of making a dough without sort of bumping all over the surface.
Absolutely.
At the same time,
you want to kind of leave it, because obviously the dough needs to mix for a considerable amount of, you know, it needs to knead, and you don't want to kind of have to apply pressure at all. So there's a little bit of salt going into that flour.
It's quite important, the salt, isn't it?
It just adds. It really does. You don't need a great deal, even with, you know, here I'm going to make 500 grams of pasta. You don't need a great deal of salt, because you can, I think we're going to make a ricotta and spinach filling, which obviously has got the salt in the cheese and what have you. So then here we need 5 eggs. So you want a good size egg. You want quite a large egg. And here, Vanessa, you have bought me you have bought me incredible eggs from your hens, your chickens.
Can you read the name on that one?
Who was that?
That's Fenella.
Oh, Fenella. That's wonderful.
We write the chicken's name.
I love that.
Yeah, the idea, I think, in real terms was that if you have chickens with different coloured eggs and one stop laying, then you can kind of wring its neck, put it in the pot, and get one that
delicious.
Does lay.
Fenella, she's given me 2 eggs today.
She's not going in the pot yet,
no.
Fenella.
They're gorgeous colour shells, aren't they?
They're blue. I think originally she's called a Fenton Rose. And I think right in the back of her heritage somewhere is an Araucana, because they've got a blue eggshell, sort of a greeny blue. That's Calpurnia.
Calpurnia, that's her name. She sounds delightful.
She's jet black. And Calpurnia was my favourite character in... To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Do you remember? She was like the maid, but she sort of was like a second mum. She was always ticking the children off and telling Atticus what, you know, to behave himself.
I love the association that you have, you know, with choosing a name. And that particular shell is very, very dark compared to Fenella.
And then that one there is Xanthi. And I don't know if you know the story, but I generally name my chickens after women that I admire. And this particular lady that I admire, I have to say, she's got a good sense of humour, is Xanthi Clay, who writes for the Telegraph magazine and for the Telegraph newspaper. She's just written a fantastic book called The Contented Cook. Have you seen that?
I have.
Lovely book, really straightforward recipes. I was reviewing it the other week, actually. So we've got Fenella, Calpurnia and Xanthi's eggs in here.
One extra left, so I'm going to sneakily put that in my pot, actually. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in there, and we're going to just pop the mixer down, switch her on at the plug, and gently, I'm going to do it very gently with the speed initially, just to combine the
you don't want the flour going everywhere.
No, even though I'm sure it will.
Is there a lid to this that sort of stops the flour from puffing
there
everywhere?
There is actually a lid, but I do like
being able to see it.
Yeah, I really do. I like to be able to see it, and plus I'm not going to be adding any liquids or anything else into this, so at least this way I can see if we need to add a little bit more flour, or maybe even another part of an egg, so whether it's the egg yolk, to make it slightly wetter. I'm not even building up a sweat, Vanessa.
You're just turning that knob very so slightly,
just very 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 slightly, because you don't want it to go kind of mental at the beginning. So it's slowly, as it's going round, it's slowly picking up the flour.
And don't cook, it's really effective
already,
because it's
already, look at that,
it's kind of swinging round from side to side. Really an effective movement, isn't it?
And if you can see at the bottom, this dough hook actually gets to the bottom of the pan. Instead of having to stop the mixer and kind of get your spatula and give it a scrape.
Did your other mixer? No. Did you have to? That was
a KitchenAid.
Was it?
It was. It's quite a
bug bearer. And what did you have to do?
You'd have to get a scraper, get a spatula, and just scrape the bowl and put the whisk back down. Same with every cake batter. It just didn't seem to have the capacity to mix at the bottom. The dough off the hook so that we can cut lovely yellow flour, because we want to just
That's
be able to incorporate.
Interesting, because not only are we going to be able to compare the colours of the of the pastas and the consistency, but the colour's different from my free-range eggs.
They're very, very yellow, very orange, really. They're not yellow at all.
You're going to have a look and see what the two different days look like.
Well, I've used a free-range egg from the supermarket. You know,
I might have been clucking around the garden.
But yours have been, yeah. Yours are still warm.
Pretty much. And that's one of the things about keeping your own chickens, is that you can do that. Okay.
That's it.
I'm turning that up now. That's just starting to bring it all together now. That's had a good few minutes and you've just stopped and had another look at it, Carmella.
You
put a bit more flour in.
I've just put a tiny bit of flour in just to give it that last work. It's actually taken all the flour that we've put in. It's a lovely consistency. It's not wet, it's not dry.
And is that because my eggs were bigger? Or because the machine was more efficient?
Possibly the machine, to be honest with you. The eggs have made the dough considerably more yellow, which is lovely to have a yellow pasta. And it's always good to buy the best quality eggs you can buy as well. But, you know, setting that aside, free-range eggs just never are they? They never are quite so yellow. So I think that'll make the difference. But I do think that rolling this, it's just giving it that workout that I think, you know, even a woman, a strong woman, can't actually do. There we go. We just lift.
So
I'm
going to finish that off by hand now, just to roll it around and feel the texture for yourself.
It's incredibly yellow.
Okay. What's the verdict?
Feels really, really good. It does, very much. You can see it's all incorporated, and it's actually already...
spring straight. In fact, I'd say that was springier than the first one.
It really
does. The hand one.
Yeah, that spring back there. That was spring back really... That was quite a prominent one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you'll see that here. You push, and it's...
Bringing that together, and then popping it in the fridge.
Popping it in the fridge for about 20 to 30 minutes. It's always good to let the dough rest. And then we're going to set the machine up, and we're going to run it through the roller.
So we've got this. That you've cut this pasta, the whole sort of thing in half, Carmella.
I have, just because it's a little bit too much to feed through a machine at one time, and it will get kind of out of control. And obviously, if you're making pasta on your own, you haven't got enough arms. So I've just cut the portion up. So there's about 250 grams of pasta dough.
And we're
here.
Just going to push this through the machine.
And so we're going to go straight through.
Right, like so it's fold, you've sort of flattened it out slightly.
I've flattened it slightly, just to the width of the roller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it on, and then hopefully...
There we go.
Whoa, look at that.
That looks fabulous, isn't it? There we go.
And then, of course, you'll turn the setting...
So then here is the setting. So we're at the minute, we're on the widest, which is number one. So I'll just flip it around now to number two. So now we're going to make the dough thinner. So you need
to
make sure...
squidging the sides in there to make sure that it's just the... Sort
that
of
it's
still,
the right width to go through. So here we go again. It's already a lot easier. Look at that already. It's lovely, isn't it?
In fact, the design, even with the handle there, the handle, I noticed, spins round, and that handle's making it easier.
Well, it does, and then you just keep going up on your settings, and it's great.
So we're up at number four now.
We're number three, I think, there it is. And the great thing with the handle is you can just rest the pasta on it, so it is kind of an extra hand, as it were. There we go.
As I say, because, I mean, I haven't helped at all with this little bit here, and yet last time,
oh,
I was having to
have enough hands,
we wouldn't have
we?
Enough hands, did we?
Just lovely.
So that's gone from it being about 4 inches long to now, as you've done that, that's got to be 30 inches
long,
at least.
I'd say, if not a little bit more, yeah. And then we're going through again now on setting four. And as you can see, it's becoming silkier. Look at that there, comparison. It's beautiful. And it's just rolling and it's getting thinner. Absolutely.
I've noticed this time it's sort of staying consistent in its width as well.
I think as you go through, you always need to make sure that you go through and it's straight, that you're not holding the dough at kind of a strange angle. It needs to be fed through the machine straight, and that will hopefully hold the...
It's glossy.
It's lovely, isn't it? And that really does help, that bar at the back there, doesn't it? It really does.
So what's the verdict?
I love it, I've got to say. I do love it, and has made the job effortless, you know, very much effortless. So at the minute we're on setting 7. I've almost rolled out my pasta to the right... to the right kind of size, the right thinness that I need. There we go.
That's got really thin, hasn't it?
So all of a sudden...
Thin, or is that still okay?
There we go. No, it's fine.
It's almost translucent.
Yeah, you want to be able to see your hand.
You can. I can see your hand through that.
Through that. That's lovely and thin.
So I'm going to have to ask you, will you ever make pasta by hand again, Carmela?
I think it's one of those... I'm just going to turn this off. I think it's one of those things that you make pasta by hand as an enjoyment, as a kind of a form of relaxation. But however, to feed a family of 6, for me at night, it has to be with the help of a chem, you know, my K-mixer. It's kind of my best friend now, I have to say. So, and look at that, absolutely beautiful, thin pasta.
We'll put it through one more machine. Do you think, should we put it through the tagliatelle or the spaghetti?
Oh, I don't mind. What would you like for dinner?
I think tagliatelle. How easy is it to change?
You literally take it out and it's out.
That's it.
It's kind of a mechanism, a twist and turn.
So at this point now, this pasta is stretching, I would say, about 2.5 metres along the counter. You did say you'd clear the whole counter to do
this. I have. I've cleared the whole of my kind of work counter that I use for cooking, but I've taken everything off it to allow the room. And I love it. I love seeing... It just looks incredible, doesn't it? So here's the machine. 1, 2, 3, and we're in. And that's it. That's the tagliatelle machine.
There's no messing.
There just really isn't. And the good thing now with making your tagliatelle is the best thing to do is to cut the dough into the manageable.
Say, trying to get 2.5 metres through is just not practical, is it?
So here we go. So I'll just kind of cut it out there.
And we'll switch this back on.
Switch that back on.
Do we need to put this on something? Does there need to be a tray underneath?
I'll catch it.
You're
going to
catch it with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's like magic.
Oh, I love it. Don't you just love it? I feel so proud.
Would you look
incredible
at those? They're beautiful.
Absolutely incredible.
And the consistency. And also, do you know what? You couldn't do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can make pasta on your own now. I don't know, that's...
It's the bar. The bar really does help.
That really, the design is fantastic. That just rolls over the top. That's so pretty.
That's
it. I'm actually thrilled at how easy.
Literally, pull it back onto the bar and push it in. I'm not doing anything now. The machine's doing all the work. I'm just here catching dinner for this evening.
We're going to the theatre this evening. So I wanted something that was going to be really quick. Really easy, and this takes how many minutes to go in the pan?
3 minutes. 3 minutes in hot water, hot salted water.
And it's not boiling, you just leave it to rest in there.
You do, it doesn't, do you know what? All it takes is warming through. That's kind of, you know, all it is really. I'll just take that lovely section there and run this through. When my children know that they're going to come home to homemade pasta, all of a sudden I become their best friend. The morning they go to school, but they always ask me what we're having for tea.
Oh, they're like sort of, well, they're very, very beautiful, really beautifully laid out. And you're just literally scattering some flour over there. What are you scattering the flour over for?
Just so that they don't stick together. So you just want to loosen them and make sure that there's no clumps, like so. So you just want that flour to kind of just separate them so that you don't get clumps of pasta.
Camilla, how do you store this between now and eating it this evening?
I would normally pop it on a tray on a base of semolina or polenta, which is a yellow grain, and I find that it works better than flour.
That's corn based.
It's a corn, but yeah, it's just like a maize, and it won't stick at all. And you can pop it in the fridge or kind of just leave it out on a work surface until this evening.
Now, the last time we made some, I saved some, but I have to be honest with you, it didn't save very well. In fact, I ended up chucking it away like some heartbroken person. It went to the chickens. So it's kind of it is a circle of life.
I was going to say, it's a circle of life.
It doesn't keep, does it?
It does if you roll it in balls and pop it in the freezer, but to keep, you know, for more than a day, really, it doesn't work. Unless it's ravioli that you've got on a tray in the fridge. But spaghetti and tagliatelle is kind of the sort of thing that you'd want to consume, you know, kind of pretty soon, as it were.
So that's it. I've got to admit, it's far easier using a machine.
I would say it definitely is, and quicker. You know, in the space of an hour and a half, you can make your dough and make your pasta. We're working it by hand, obviously it takes a lot longer, you know. However, I do still enjoy that kind of time out, as it were. But here you can make the dough and then finish it off by hand, so you still feel that you're putting something back into it. Are you with me?
The final thing I'm just going to point out about this, what I really like about this machine is that you can make it on your own. And for me, I will make this on my own at home. The sad thing is that up until now, I've only ever made pasta with somebody. So I will be making it alone with my mixer.
You will, and I think you'll enjoy it. You really will find that you just experiment, and you'll think to yourself, actually, I'm going to do a different shape, or I'm going to stuff it with and fill it with, you know, ricotta and, I don't know, watercress. If you've got watercress, you can really use anything, you know, roasted peppers and basil. You can, the combinations are wonderful. Or you can just make a really simple spaghetti and use that with a lovely kind of tomato and basil sauce.
It's quite an investment, one of these pieces. But I'm going to ask you this. How much money do you think that this tagliatelle has cost in real terms now to make this?
In real money,
half a dozen eggs, some flour.
Well, eggs from the a pound, you know, if I had to buy the eggs, you know.
So you're making that with like a passata sauce, so I mean, the you've got a little bit of
to include the sauce
in there. If you just was having a plain passata sauce, what would that cost?
£1.50.
So you're saying this here now for £2.50, you can feed the whole family their supper.
My family for tea on £2.50. Oh, absolutely. And that's the great thing about making homemade pasta is it's flour and eggs.
You see, for that, I think it's worth investing in the machine, because you can't justify hours and hours of slaving away doing it by hand. I can't justify that, but I can justify it to buy one of these just for the saving that I will make to do this.
And people don't have time. You can't have mums in the kitchen making endless amounts of pasta, you know, for their family. You just don't. It's not real. It's in fairyland it may work, but it just doesn't in real terms, in real life. And obviously making it with, you know, with the cane mix, I think is definitely,
it turns it into a reality.
Yeah, it does with that.
So it makes it practical.
So I think we're gonna have a go at make some ravioli now, some stuffed ravioli.